The topic for our sermon this morning is based on the text read earlier, and I wish you would turn to 1 John chapter 3. The epistle written by the apostle of love, John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. The apostle opens with the word, behold. Look here, he says. Here is something very important and relevant that I have to write to you. Give me your full attention. Dear friends, are you? We are here to be instructed, to be fed and nourished with the Word of God. Behold, focus your hearts and minds and attention. Ponder and think. When we come to worship, we must come with hearts and minds prepared. It is not a routine. It is not a form. We must come and serve the Lord here, worship him in spirit and in truth. Nothing else will please the Lord. So he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Focus your minds now on the word love. What manner of love? Consider God's love for us. Not as the world speaks about love. I was just commenting that if you buy the new paper, they're playing a lot on carnal, sexual, physical, sensual, lustful, sinful love. Every day almost. Headlines. Now, dear friends, we're not talking about that thing. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What is the love that God has shown to you and me today? We have come into his house as his children because what? He showed us, bestowed upon us his love. What manner of love? Consider this. God's love is pure, holy, a love that he bestows upon unlovely people, such as we are. Charity is the other word used in the Word of God. Charity. Undeserved. Selfless, sacrificial. Another word you can think of is kindness. You don't deserve any kindness. Well, I don't deserve any kindness. But God came and showed us the greatest kindness purely for our blessing and benefit. Now, this is God's love. The love of the world is selfish. People love because they get something for themselves. Even charity in society is bound to some selfish benefit, not the love of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and we see this manner of love given to us in this record, the Bible. Dear friends, how much have you read? Read through. And when you have read through again and again, you see there is one theme through this great book. God's love for unlovely men. God's love for sinners such as you and I. We see this throughout the whole Bible from beginning to ending. In the garden, we see God's love as he faced those two sinning men and women, and God clothed them. The greatest act of love in the garden. We all know the story of the prodigal son who spurned father's love and shelter, and he took his inheritance and went far away, as far as he could from father, to escape father's discipline. There he rebelled against the father until he came to his end of his tether. Nowhere to turn, back to father. How about father? Whereas the son didn't want the father, forgot the father. Father, not for a moment or a single day did he forget the son. This is father love. This is the love of God. Daily he thought, he looked, he yearned, he longed until the prodigal turned back. Immediately, father runs down to him, embraces him, puts a ring on him, clothes him, makes a big feast for him. This is the love of God for you and me. But the greatest manifestation of God's love is at Calvary. God spared not his own son, but sent him to the cross. What for? In order that he may buy us back to himself. That is the love. Dear friends, we cannot fully comprehend that love. We can only say, God, I thank you that you love me. God's love is one of goodwill, compassion, pity, grace, mercy, all flowing from the wonderful heart of God. Nothing else motivated him except that God is love. God loved us. We see a faint picture of God's love in every father and mother, right? You have a newborn child. That child does nothing for you, nothing except a nuisance. True? Absolute nuisance. Everything it needs, it dirties itself, it cries, it's sick. Do you throw the child away? Oh, dear friends, herein is seen the love of father for the child. And this is a very faint picture of the love of God for us. Then consider ourselves, that why did God love us? Did he see something good? You see, I see the child. It's my child. It's my child. How can I ever forsake that child? God sees us. You know, he made us. We are his children. And his greatest longing is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and receive the love of God. But we must consider ourselves how we did rebel, all of us. Ephesians chapter 2 describes it very clearly. Once upon a time, before we came to salvation, we were dead in trespasses and sins, filthy, wretched sinners, children of wrath, aliens, strangers, enemies, rebels, far from God, undeserving of anything good from God, and yet God came. That is love. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We just read through a few verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This is it. Love is, as it were, a gold coin. On one side is written mercy. The other side, grace. Mercy, God is not willing to punish us for what we deserve. Grace, He gives to us the free gift that we do not deserve. Together it comes from the love of the heart of God. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. We were dead, filthy, rotting away, and He comes, puts life in us. That's what it says, quicken, together with Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His love and mercy and kindness and grace to us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great... Read this again at home. Read it in the nighttime. Read it and ponder how God has loved us. Then the two great verses follow. For by grace, verse 8, are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, my friends, when you read all this, you say, Lord, what did I do that I am a child of yours today? The more you think, the more amazing it becomes, isn't it? You know the story of John Newton, slave trader. Can you imagine men trading in men like cattle? There was a time when men were captured and taken like cows and pigs and sold. And he did it. He was in Africa. But the Lord dealt with him and saved him. And he was amazed. And he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, John Newton. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Is that so? Amazing grace. You can say, amazing love of God. Once I was dead, but now I live. Once condemned, but now released from condemnation. God's love is condescending. From the highest heaven, it reaches down the lowest earth and lowest hell in order to lift up miserable sinners. Condescending love. Unspeakable love. Indescribable. You cannot describe God's love with any kind of adjectives or nouns or any words you can invent. Can never, never adequately describe the love of God. So the songwriter says this, which we are going to sing at closing. Listen. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, a pen, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. This is expression. What love is it that we should be called the sons of God? Please understand, we were all filthy, rejected, useless, worse than useless. Now, God has brought us into the fold, into the family, to be what? His sons. Can you imagine this? A beggar coming into the Buckingham Palace and become a prince? God has called us out of a perishing world, out of the darkness of the world. Well, we were once servants of sin, sons of Satan. Today He has called us and given us sonship. How can it be? I say, dear friends, the reality and the magnitude and impact of God's call to us is not immediately evident today. Yes, we sit here, right? Sometimes you wonder, oh yes, am I really a child of God? I look no different from the other people. And if I were to compare, really, the child of God, I'm down and out. I'm not in any way being blessed. My neighbor is an atheist. He's so much better off, right? And I'm here sick, old, dying. What is the meaning of a son of God? It is not evident. This is what it says. This verse I read for you. It doth not yet appear what we shall be while you wear the name of Son of God. Where is the reality? So Paul says sometimes it is even worse than not being a Christian almost, because they make us the filth of the world. They look at us and say, you useless people, Christians, what are you? You are not contributing to society. You're rubbish. So Paul says we are off the off-scouring of all things. You know what is off-scouring? The turfing off, the rubbish, the dirt. You are just useless, no use. So Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. If following the Lord Jesus Christ makes us look foolish, let us do it. Let us follow, because we have been made sons already through our Lord Jesus Christ. So today in the world's esteem, we are like nothing. But this verse says, wait a while, wait a minute. We know that what? When Jesus shall appear, then it will be evident what the meaning of the sons of God is. You look at verse 2 again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Today it is not evident, it is a mystery. People say you are being a Christian, you hope for a pie in the sky. Doesn't matter what they say. But it says here, we know this is not speculation. We know means it is knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge given in the revelation of the Word of God, and we know every word of God is true. What God says in His Word is true. So we can say we know. When Jesus shall appear, something wonderful is going to happen. We shall be like Him, changed. Then it will be evident, right? Now it does not yet appear. Then it shall be very visible. Everybody will see it. We will see it ourselves. We will be changed. Something most marvelous, astounding, amazing, fantastic. You cannot describe it. You cannot imagine it. But what? We know. It's true. Do you know it's true? Do you believe in it? So there is a song in your hymn book. It says, it will be worth it all. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small, nothing. When we see Christ, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Hymn is 221. This is our blessed hope, dear friends. It doth not yet appear, so you must have hope. Today you can't fully realize. You cannot imagine it. You cannot think about it and what will be. In that day it will be evident. So we must have hope, blessed hope. Hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What do you mean by this? You have the hope? Do you? Do you hope daily in the Lord's coming? It is, as it were, the bride waiting for the bridegroom. And this verse says, every man that hath this hope as a bride has hope, that the bridegroom is coming for her, she will purify herself, beautify herself, strengthen herself. Any prospective bride, what are you doing every day? Preparing, keeping yourself pure, whole, holy. That's what we should do. Every believer is, as it were, a bride of Christ. And therefore, verse 3 says, you have this hope. Purify yourself, even as you are pure, even as you are saved and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep on, keep on, keep on, pursuing holiness, purity, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's coming. Oh, my friends, how did we all come to be sons of God? And I want to just turn you to the book of Romans. Chapter 8 of Romans has a very relevant passage which applies exactly to what we have just read. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Pause and think here. I ask you the question, how did you become a son of God, a daughter of God? How? Verse 14 gives the answer. I can say, I have become a son of God because I have been led by the Spirit of God. Yes. When I heard the gospel, and you heard the gospel, and the gospel came to you and told you, all have sinned, you have sinned, and your sin will condemn you, and your sin will take you to everlasting destruction, but God has sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit says, look, look to the Savior. He died for you. He only can save you because God has given no other Savior. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Right? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You heard the gospel. You heard the challenge. And you said, Lord, I admit, I confess, I am a sinner. Condemned already. But I want to escape that condemnation. And I have heard your gospel through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads me, right? You obey. You follow. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me. I know there is no other one who can save me. Only Jesus. And I receive you. So, the verse we recited this morning, John 1:12. As many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There's no other name. You cannot believe in many names and hope to be a son of God. You cannot be. Only one name. Right? How did you come to believe in that one name? Answer, I was led by the Spirit of God. For no man can come to Jesus and no man can believe in Him except what? The Holy Spirit teaches him and leads him and guides him. Then you say, Amen. I know it's true. How do you know it's true? Holy Spirit told you. Now this is the Word of God. Now look, go on to verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Every sinner comes through this gateway. Every sinner who is saved. What gateway? The prayer of the sinner who comes to recognize the Savior. And the moment you hear the gospel and respond, you say, Father, have mercy on me. Thank Thee for sending Thy Son, Jesus Christ. I want to receive Him. Now, what made you pray that prayer? The Spirit of God. the spirit of adoption. That spirit tells you, now you look to the Savior. You are cleansed by the blood. You come in. You become a child of God. And it is a spirit of adoption. What a marvelous, wonderful spirit that adopts you. You know what it is to be adopted? When I worked in Kanakaba Hospital, the famous KK, they call it the Birthquake Hospital. Number one in the world, you know, number one. And so many babies were born every day, 110 every day. So many babies, many of mothers didn't want the babies. So we have the nursery of unwanted babies. Every day there are babies unwanted. Think of it, if you are one of the babies, you lie there. Oh, I wish someone would want me and take me away. Indeed, oh, there comes this great man. How I wish he would adopt me, right? If he would adopt me, I would be the most wonderful, blessed baby in the world, right? That is the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption, Jesus Christ sends his own spirit and he takes you up. You're unwanted, useless, worthless, and the spirit comes and lifts you up. Shows you the Savior, the Father, and you say, I own him as my Father, God the Father. He is the spirit of adoption. And this verse says, you have not received the spirit of bondage. Spirit of bondage, do you know what that means? This friend of mine, who incidentally is a member of the Chinese congregation 30 years ago, said to me, Doctor, I'm frightened. I said, of what? I was adopted in a temple to a Chinese deity called Quan Gong. And he frightens me. So I have to go back to the temple from time to time to offer, to worship, to get relief. But there is no relief. Because when I go home, the fear is still with me. That fearsome, terrible-looking Quan Gong haunts me. Verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage. Every spirit that is not the spirit of Jesus is a spirit of bondage. Do you know that? Don't try meditation, friends. Don't. Don't try yoga. Don't try qigong and all these things. Because they lead you down the path of meditation and the spirit of bondage is there waiting to catch you. And once you are caught, you're in it. Then you will have the spirit of fear, fear of the unknown, fear of the occult, fear of unseen forces around us. No, dear friends, the only thing that can free you from those forces is come to Jesus, receive him. And the spirit of adoption, verse 15 says, bring you to the Father, and you cry, Abba, Father. Oh, what a great, great privilege it is to be adopted into the family of God. You can say, Father in heaven, don't you? Now, that immediately entitles you to all the privileges of sonship. Father in heaven, you are now a child of God, with all the privileges of a son or daughter. You can come to him with your problems and he will acknowledge you. You can come to him with your troubles. Oh, I have so many fears. I had two calls this last week. I feel very uneasy. Something's bugging me. Unseen forces around me. I cannot sleep at night. There are forces around me. I fear. I got panic. What is that? Spirit of fear. Spirit of the world. All these unseen spirits. Don't you ever yield to them. Come to Jesus. Every child of God need not be under oppression of this spirit of fear or bondage. Oh, dear friends, what a glorious privilege we have as sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but even right now, we know we have received the spirit of adoption. God's Spirit has adopted us into the family, and we are assured of protection. Anyone here who is having panic fears? I don't know what to do. I can't sleep. I can't think. I can't eat. I can't work. Yes? Don't let it prey on your mind. When we come to the Lord Jesus and are adopted, it is as it were a legal transaction. Yes, only Friday I had a lady who said, I have been married all these years. Now I'm 45. And she said to me, Doctor, you've been treating me. I have not been able to get a baby. Will you please write me a letter of adoption? With that, I will go because I have a friend already with a baby, doesn't want the baby and wants to give to me. So with the letter to authorize her to adopt a baby, she will go to the lawyers and have it legalized. After the legal papers are made, the baby will legally belong to this infertile couple. Now, we coming to the Lord Jesus Christ also go legal transaction, as it were. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He saves us and He puts His seal to our salvation in His own blood. Right? This patient of mine will have to go and have all the parties signed. Sign that now this child belongs to this couple. Jesus Christ signs that we now belong to the family of God, and that is signed in His own blood that cleansed and purchased us. It is a legal transaction. We are now admitted, adopted, transferred into God's family. This is the meaning of Son of God. You know your privilege? That's why we pray. That's why we have fellowship one with another. That's why we have this access to the throne of God. How wonderful this unspeakable privilege. Verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do not doubt, although doubts do come. Dear friends, sometimes perhaps you're down, perhaps depressed, perhaps you've made some mistake, some sin, and then you doubt. No, dear friends, when you are in that situation, turn back to the Savior. Pray to Him, cry to Him, call to Him, and the Holy Spirit will help you. You know, our Lord Jesus says, I must go away. It is expedient that I go, for if I do not go, the Holy Spirit Comforter will not come. Now the Lord has gone and the Spirit of God has come down, which is also called the Spirit of Jesus. You know, sometimes you wonder, Jesus promised, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How does He fulfill that promise? Answer, He sent His Holy Spirit. Who is the Spirit of Jesus? So while Jesus is physically up there, His Spirit is with us. And He is a wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit comforter, strengthener, friend, companion every day. Do you know Him? The Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 16. This Holy Spirit is to help you in your time of doubting. Never doubt, therefore. Verse 16 says, The Spirit Himself itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you have a doubt, read this verse. What verse? Romans 8:16. Because you are a child of God and the Holy Spirit Comforter in your heart, He will bear witness with your spirit. My inner man knows that I am a child of God because the Spirit of Jesus in me speaks to me, testifies that I am a child of God. Because when I wake up in the morning, the first thought I have is, Abba, Father, right? This is the testimony, the witness of the Holy Spirit, that you are a child of God, that you acceded and obeyed Him, and you called the Father in prayer. Do you? That is the one evidence. Another, when you hear the word of God, does it warm your heart? When you hear the truth of God, are you happy, joyful, warmed, receptive? Thank God, I hear the word of God preached to me. That is the witness of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot receive the truth of God except the Holy Spirit in you. Witness to that truth. And you are a child of God. Why? This is the word of God. My Father is speaking to me. I'm so happy. This is the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows you. Look, whereas before you were born again, you did all those things that were unlawful, sinful. Today, you don't do them anymore. You hate them. This man was very angry with his wife when he got converted in Calvary, Jurong. She prayed for him, and the Holy Spirit converted him. So he came and he got baptized, and he told me, he says, you know, nobody ever told me that I should not smoke, but I just automatically stopped it. Nobody said I don't go to cinema, but I didn't want to go anymore. And nobody told me to stop playing mahjong with my kakis, I just stopped it. Why? The witness of the Holy Spirit in him says, you are a child of God. There are better things for you. God has got many good things for you. Why do you do those unprofitable things? The witness of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you are a child of God? Son of God? Daughter of God? Do you? How do you know? Holy Spirit in you bears witness. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. I know this because whereas once upon a time my whole attention and my love was for things on earth, now no more. Now I set my heart and affection on things above. That is the witness of the Holy Spirit. A change. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm a new person. The Holy Spirit tells you, see, you're a new person. That is the witness of the Holy Spirit to help you be sure I am a child of God. And in my heart I know I am a child of God and a citizen of heaven. I know that. Besides my Singapore citizenship, I know I'm a citizen of heaven, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know my Heavenly Father is preparing a place for me. I have that assurance. How come? The witness of the Holy Spirit. You see, all these things tell us we have a wonderful heritage, a wonderful privilege of what? Sonship. Sonship. Everyone, every son and daughter of God has all these things assured for him. Now, we go back to 1 John 3 as we conclude. Reading the same verses, I think you are going to see more light. All right, I read for you. Behold, pay attention, think, ponder, consider what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you. In all my sinful state, he came and bestowed that wonderful love. And call me to be a son of his, a daughter of his. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You know, when you are a Christian and a believer, the world does not like the out and out Christian. No, the two don't mix. The world knows you not because the world crucified the Lord. And you follow the Lord, you are going to be ostracized by the world. If you show your true colors, that can happen. Verse 2, beloved believers in the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary today, now, are you the son and daughter of God? But it doth not yet appear what you shall be. Today it is a mystery, not yet revealed. But we know that, it is not speculation.
It is not a shot in the dark, but it is sure knowledge. From where? The Word of God. The Word of God that tells us in so many words, so easily understood. Now we know because God has told us, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. This is the most glorious statement of the Scripture for today. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You and I shall be changed. Are you ready for that change? Dear friends, live like it's going to happen tomorrow. Live every day as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Go and tell others. Tell them that they too can become sons and daughters of God. There is a great door open today. The gospel door is still open. Go and tell them you are a child of God and tell them how wonderful it is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let us live for Jesus Christ lives that are pure, holy, acceptable to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to live as sons and daughters of God. Help us to tell others about this great salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.